market's been on a pretty wild ride, including some names that, well, quite honestly, they've appeared on the most attractive and most dangerous lists from David Trainer and New Constructs. We're going to talk about some of those, including the biggest one in the news, now on The Danger Zone. Welcome to The Danger Zone. This is where we talk with the experts from New Constructs, where they evaluate securities on a scale of most attractive to most dangerous. They blog about all their Danger Zone picks, so there's always more information on everything you hear us talk about on the show. To find that information, newconstructs.com, and they're on Twitter, at New Constructs. David Trainer is the founder and president of the firm. David, great to have you back on the show.
It is great to be back, Chuck. Thank you.
Now, normally we would be talking about who's in the Danger Zone this week, but I want to move away from that because the stock that has been going gangbusters that now everybody is saying
danger, danger
is GameStop, GME. But the last time you were looking at it, you actually liked the looks of this. This was a company that long before it got into the headlines for the volatility, you were saying it was attractive. It's not on the attractive list now, obviously, but let's just talk about sort of that disconnect. Here's, you know, we always talk about when do things get crazy? When do you find a catalyst? When do you see whatever? How did you see the GameStop thing going when this had been a stock that you had liked?
I mean, it was funny, you know. Look, we've had our face ripped off by the momentum train on all of our Danger Zone and sort of short calls, and this was a situation where we hitched a ride on the momentum train because we've been long GameStop and it had it on our focus list for, you know, well over a year, and so we closed it fairly near the top here at the end of last week for well over 1,000% gain on that call. And what we saw with GameStop was just, you know, a great value play. This is going back over a year, a great value play where there was a business that had some assets, but because of the retail apocalypse narrative and the like, you know, the stock was just beaten down, and we thought there was a great opportunity for activist investors to come in and really extract value. And that's exactly what happened before the retail frenzy took it to a new level. And so we were actually considering, you know, starting to do work on closing the position before the frenzy took place. And honestly, it hit so fast that even by the time, you know, we'd kind of written the report, made the update and all that kind of stuff, you know, the stock just kept rolling. So we just sort of said, you know, wait a couple more days, see what happens, right? But then it went to absolute ridiculous heights. And like Netflix and Tesla and a variety of other companies, you know, there's a decent business model there. There's a good idea. But the valuation is so far disconnected from the fundamentals as to be completely absurd for GameStop. It got that way, and it still is for that matter, just as it has for other stocks. And we were fortunate to kind of time our close near the top. And so, yeah, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good.
Now you're out of the stock, and obviously it's been going through its conniptions. What would it take to make it that GameStop would again be a buy to you? You know, obviously you saw it as attractive. It's got to go way lower than it was for you to wind up saying it would be a buy again, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're talking about, you know, $15 or something, 10, 15 before we would consider it.
So that gives us an understanding of how it's working and how sometimes you catch a tiger by the tail. Now let's talk about some other stuff that you guys have been doing at New Constructs, where you're looking not just at what's attractive or dangerous, but at pairs trades. You're doing what you call micro bubble analysis. Explain how it works and give us an example.
We're not here to claim sort of doomsday. Oh, the market's so overvalued, it's all going to crash and we're all going to, you know, go back to the Stone Age. We don't think that's realistic. We firmly believe that, look, the Fed and the White House and Congress, for that matter, you know, are all very much aligned and doing whatever they can to keep the economy going and keeping people happy. And that means keeping the stock market going, right? It's almost like Romans providing games and bread to the masses. You know what I mean? They got to do it, man. Otherwise, they're facing insurrection possibly, right? Mm-hmm. Or a very upset populace, and whoever's in power will lose it. So it's important politically to keep that going. With that in mind, however, there are still some super risky elements in the market, and there's still some good value in the market as well. So on top of the theme that no one's going to let the market really sink, there's a theme that there are some good stocks and bad stocks. And so we're putting together companies that are effectively in the same sector, doing the same thing. One is super overvalued and one is actually very attractively valued. And we call it the micro bubble winner and loser. And this week we're focusing on Hyatt versus Airbnb. the main case here is the fact that, number one, most people don't realize, but Airbnb is facing some significant regulatory issues. They've been shut out in New York City, and something like 45% of all their listings are illegal. So that's something that could hugely knock them off their horse here. But when you look at these two stocks juxtaposed, you know, it's just kind of a joke, like how much opportunity there is in Hyatt versus how much risk there is in Airbnb. And we got a couple of charts here that are very telling, right? It's like the profits for Hyatt versus the losses of Airbnb, right? Hyatt's got like huge amount of cash flow accumulated over the last 5 years. Airbnb, cash losses, huge, right? And then expected profits compared to past profits for Hyatt is basically nothing. Like the valuation of Hyatt implies their cash flows are going to stay the same or drop. Whereas Airbnb's cash flows imply that the profits are going to absolutely go through the roof and be almost like 50 times, 40 times what Hyatt is today. The juxtaposition of these things is powerful because you've got a business not making money with a valuation implied it's going to make more money than almost every hotel chain in the world made last year. And then you've got a company who's actually making money and has a good business over time, whose valuation implies its profits will never grow again.
Yeah. And so the moral of the story is, again, look at the fundamentals, ignore the momentum play, because that's where the trap is for you.
Yeah. And that's kind of the message we're going out. We've got a lot of people asking us about GameStop and what to do with all this. And you know, the main message here, Chuck, is again and again, look, you know, investors have not been empowered to have fundamental research in the same way they've been empowered to have access to markets, right? All these trading platforms, they want you to trade, trade, trade. They don't want you to think about what you're trading. They just want you to trade, 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 because they're selling your order flow. And the more orders you put in, the more money they make. And investors need to raise their hand for a second and say, wait a second, why don't we get some insights before we trade? Because fundamentals shouldn't necessarily be 100% of your process, but they shouldn't be 0% either. And we're just trying to help people understand how Wall Street exploits their blind risk-taking and how they can take the blinders off by just taking a few seconds to look at something that's going to give them some fundamental insights and help them understand the risk they are taking.
And if you want more information, well, ABNB is Airbnb stock. Hyatt, ticker symbol H, if you want to compare them for yourselves. If you want to get the New Constructs information, well, go check out newconstructs.com on their blog about the danger zone. David Trainer, great stuff as always. We'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, great talking to you too, Chuck. Thank you.
David Trainer is the president and founder of New Constructs. It's newconstructs.com, and they're on Twitter at New Constructs. All right, we are heading for home on the February 8th edition of Money Life. Up next, it's market call time, and joining us from the coast of Africa, Matt Breidert. He's with the Ecofin Global Renewables Infrastructure Fund, and he'll be here in just a moment.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.